Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, time now for the watch list, our recommendations for TV and movies for the week ahead. And I'm joined today by director of the Dublin International Film Festival, Gráinne Humphreys, and host of the Extravision podcast, Andy McCarroll. Good afternoon, guys.
Good to see you.
Gráinne, we'll start with TV. The RTE show Obituary with the terrific Siobhan Cullen is back for season two on Tuesday. You like this?
I did like it. It's funny, I'd missed it the first time round, Brendan, so I actually went and I binged season one last week, and I would say to anyone that's not the way to do it because it's really twisty and really kind of heavy on kind of plot and characters. It's about a kind of young, slightly kind of morbidly kind of obsessed young writer who kind of works that the only way she can hold her job as an obituary writer is to keep killing people who are dislikable and horrible. And it's a bit like Murder, She Wrote in that it's Cabot Cove is, you know, the murder capital of America. Well, definitely Kilraven is the murder capital of Ireland. There's a lot of people who deserve to be offed in this. The only thing I would say is it's really great to look at, and the cinematography is fantastic, and great cast. And Siobhan, you mentioned, she's really brilliant.
Yeah,
she's got this amazing texture to her that she moves between quite likable and you seem kind of sympathy for her position, and suddenly you're just going no, she's sick and twisted, kind of Dexter-like character.
Okay, that's Obituary and season two coming on RTE1 on Tuesday at 10:15. Andy, have you been following the Celebrity Traitors on the BBC?
Yeah, I have.
How's it going?
I'm a recent convert to the Traitors. My fourth season was the Irish one that just happened. This one is very different, obviously, because there's celebrities involved. The guard is up. They seem like they're very controlled at all times. There isn't people, you know, like the Irish Traitors, all they were short of doing was throttling each other across the table. Everyone's, you know, very aware they're being filmed. That said, Alan Carr is absolutely fantastic. He's been picked as one of the traitors, and to see him just completely fall apart in real time and how nobody straight away said, well, it's clearly him. His entire demeanour has just changed. He is fantastic to watch in it as well. So
okay, and that continues on BBC One at 9 o'clock on Wednesday and Thursday nights. Gráinne, Loot with Maya Rudolph is back on Apple TV on Wednesday for season three. And this is that kind of thing that Apple TV do quite well, which is you're not falling on the floor laughing, but it's warm and likable.
It's warm and poppy. It's from the kind of producers and writers of Parks and Recreation. And it's just got this energy. Maya Rudolph, I mean, it's her show. She basically plays an ex-wife who got $87 billion in the divorce. And it's what do you do with that amount of money? And it's cartoon-like, but really warm. And she, as I said, it's a bit like going back to the old Mary Tyler Moore show, kind of, you know, it's built around someone who has such an amazing charisma that you just follow her. And it's really enjoyable. And in these times, Nice way to spend 30 minutes.
I think we've had this conversation before, but you know she's Minnie Riperton's daughter.
Yes, I have. And Paul Thomas and Anderson's wife, Brendan.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, you see, I don't think of any woman as somebody's wife. That's internalised misogyny, what you just did there now. Doesn't matter who her husband is. She's carrying this on her own, and it's a great
fantastic
show. She's an absolute star, isn't she? Okay, Andy, on Friday then on Apple TV, I think people are quite excited about this. There's a new 5-part Martin Scorsese documentary, and it's made by Rebecca Miller, who Gráinne would say is the wife of Daniel Day-Lewis.
You would say
I would mention her parents, but she is, in her own right, is a terrific filmmaker and writer.
Yeah, Arthur, like you said, Arthur Miller's daughter, probably one of the greatest playwrights of the 20th century, married to one of the greatest actors, and you're stuck here talking to me, so you've definitely taken a wrong turn somewhere when it comes to the company you're keeping compared to Rebecca Miller. But yeah, it's a 5-part documentary going through the entire career of Scorsese. He seems to be very open about this. He's not one of those who, the work needs to speak for himself. He's very open about what this film meant to him, where it was in his life and what he was going on. People like Daniel Day-Lewis, Leonardo DiCaprio, Margot Robbie, Sharon Stone, Spielberg all take part in as well. It looks absolutely fantastic and a very comprehensive view of probably arguably the greatest filmmaker of all time.
I suppose he is. Is he, Gráinne, the greatest filmmaker of all time?
Arguably.
I was very conscious of this.
You'd argue for some Japanese anime maker or something, no doubt.
And but why not?
For the normal punter, Scorsese's the man. And of course, he has always been quite, he enjoys kind of being a public figure, doesn't he?
He's doing TikToks with his daughter and stuff like that. Absolutely hilarious. wouldn't think when you see like how dark and grim a lot of his films are, like, you know, the bubbly personality he has behind the scenes.
Yeah, okay. So that is called Mr. Scorsese and it's from next Friday on Apple TV Plus. Now, Gráinne, we love a bit of glossy, trashy TV these days. I'm hoping the Iris Affair, which starts on Sky and Now TV from next Thursday, is it?
I thought it was incredibly good fun. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Niamh Alagher, Irish actor that just love, and herself and Tom Hollander basically face off. It's one of those films that starts, it's a TV show, but starts with what can only be described as the kind of lair that the retired spy lives in or the reclusive lives in. So it's Sardinia. So it looks fantastic. She lives a quiet life. Nobody knows her kind of like past. But she is being slowly tracked down by, as I said, a kind of genius. So it's a kind of cat and mouse, glamorous locations. I always think of kind of like To Catch a Thief or that kind of wonderful kind of mid-career Hitchcock with lovely people in lovely locations. Great, great fun.
Yeah, yeah. The kind of thing Nicole Kidman might be in, yes?
Well, blessedly, she's not in this. It's great that she's
in this. I'm amazed that you managed to make it without her.
Well, it's nice that there's something one week where Nicole Kidman is not in it.
If I see a nice location or interior, I expect Nicole Kidman. If this is Pavlovian, I expect her to walk in at some stage in it. Okay. Andy, Tron Ares, am I pronouncing that right, is in cinemas now. I noticed that a lot of the reviews are saying the soundtrack is the star of this, which would get you worried. Maybe explain to people first Tron and the history. This is the third Tron film.
Yeah, they haven't called it Tron 3, unfortunately. The first one was in 1982 with Jeff Bridges. It was kind of groundbreaking in the technology it used at the time. Tron Legacy then in 2010. I admire the work ethic they're having, you know, 15, 20, 30 years between films. I wish I could work that irregularly. And again, probably the best thing about that film was the Daft Punk soundtrack. This film, very much the best thing about it is the Nine Inch Nails soundtrack. I was saying to Gráinne just before we came in, a friend of mine texted me asking to go and see it during the week. And I said yes, forgetting that I'd already seen it 2 days previously. And probably the most memorable thing about this is they had the Tesla humanoid, the Optimus, the robot on the red carpet, kind of fake fighting with the crowd or with the cast as well. And then just after that, a story broke that the robot had actually attacked one of the maintenance workers, and they're now suing Tesla for $51 million. So a film made about kind of AI coming to take over, being sponsored by, you know, a man who runs a company that AI is taking over, is a bit too on the nose, I think.
Okay, so meta, but I'm taking from it that I don't need to rush out to see this right now. I could wait for streaming, could I?
Yeah, I think you could. Watch that Maya Randolph show, apparently. Yeah, it'd be a bit better.
Rudolph.
Or Maya Rudolph.
Yes, yes. Gráinne, A House of Dynamite, it'll actually be on Netflix on October 24th, I think, but it's in cinemas now.
And it is, I think it's one of the films of the year. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Catherine Bigelow is back and all of that.
So remind people who Catherine Bigelow is.
The first female director to win Best Picture with The Hurt Locker. She made Point Break. She's a really incredible kind of experimental but a kind of action director. So she's really interested in kind of like pacing. She does lots of films around kind of, you know, big subjects, war, politics. And this is about a nuclear weapon is aimed at the US, and this is about what the US and the different layers of government do to respond. But it's shot through a kind of prism of about three different narratives that kind of interlock with, you know, the president down to somebody who's in charge of the kind of crisis room to the guys who were actually in the kind of far-flung space trying to shoot down the missile before it lands in American soil. Brilliant. Pulsating. Went to see it with my mum. 10 minutes in, we were leaning forward, unable to take our eyes off the screen. If you can get a chance to see it in the cinema, it's a great, great opportunity. But honestly, it's one of the films of the year, and it's so good to see her coming back. Arguably one of the best filmmakers working in America with a film in the cinema.
Yes, yes. You could have said one of the best female filmmakers.
I could, but I didn't.
Yes, I know. So come here. It's interesting, though. If this is one of the best films of the year, really brief cinema release and then on to Netflix. We're seeing more and more of that, aren't we?
Well, some of this, I think, the Netflix, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but it feels like some films are divided into the ones that they feel like will get Oscar attention. And therefore, in order to qualify for Oscar attention, they need to have a cinema run.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily that they're going to be given a 4 week kind of, you know, extravaganza of a release, whatever you want to play that. They're literally going to get out, have a kind of qualifying run in the cinemas and then be seen on Netflix.
And Netflix want the prestige then of winning Oscars, basically.
Everybody wants the prestige of winning Oscars. If we had a choice, we would want them too. But I think what's interesting is that this film is genuinely one of the ones that you, on a big screen, Brendan, it looks fantastic, you know, which I don't know. My telly is big, but it's not big enough to give you that kind of immersive experience. And it just rocks.
Okay, great. And that is House of Dynamite, and it's in it's on a limited cinema release right now. But Netflix on October 24th for the non-purists who aren't willing to pay for a film they're going to see in 2 weeks' time on Netflix. Andy, the IFI are having a horror-thon from October 23rd to 27th to get people in the mood for Halloween.
Yeah, this is basically Christmas for horror movie fans. Every year they have a really good lineup in the festival. This year they have a few standouts. One for me is Shelby Oaks, which is the Irish premiere of what used to be a YouTube film reviewer called Chris Duckman, who had a script picked up by Mike Flanagan, who directed Dr. Sleep and this year's Life of Chuck as well. It's very much kind of in the Twin Peaks Silent Hill model. It looks really, really, really good. And again, to see kind of a film reviewer, you know, becoming, you know, stop being a critic and actually start making art, I'm kind of appreciative of that. I kind of want to hate him as well.
Someday, because he's doing someday, that.
Dust Bunny as well is another one directed by Brian Fuller, who made the Hannibal TV show, has Mads Mikkelsen and Sigourney Weaver, which is about a girl who hires a hitman to kill the monster hiding under her bed, which sounds absolutely ridiculous. But if you see the trailer, it actually looks absolutely fantastic. They've also got screenings of things like Let the Right One In and Blade. And Grani was just saying to me just before we went on air, there's a very good John Borman documentary as well that they're showing and that. So it's kind of it's a bit of something for everyone, for all levels of horror fans.
Okay, Grania, finally, you've been to see Good Boy in cinemas now. It's getting rave reviews. You a whole new genre, you're saying?
Dog horror. It's about a lovely golden retriever who knows that his owner is sick, and they go and stay in a sick house, and he's the only one who knows that something is wrong. And it's all done from the point of view of a dog. Gripping, simple premise. It's all shadows and a big string soundtrack, but wow, it works. Great
really?
Fun. Yeah.
And
seriously.
Starring a Labrador.
It's starring a Labrador. Indie. Watch out. I'm sure he's going
to
be big.
Next is
there arguably Oscar, the biggest.
Oscar buzz around him.
There should be. It'll be a new category that they'll be looking at for next year.
Okay. Grania Humphreys and Andy McCarroll, thank you so much for all those recommendations. That's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.